Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
This morning, I want to speak to you about a subject called God Moments Lead to God's Will. And my passage this morning is Joshua chapter 4. And I would like to read 3 verses in the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1 through verse 3. The Bible says these words: after the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from people, one man for each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan, where the priests are standing, carry them with you and set them down at the place where you spend the night.'" Now, Father, I pray in the strong and holy and powerful name of Jesus that you would empower us for these moments. And may the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that your life is marked by moments? A moment is a point in time that defines your life and oftentimes will turn your life directionally. It may be something good, it may be something bad, but it just leaves you a little bit different than you were. But a God moment goes to a whole different level than just a moment. What is a God moment? Let me define that for you this morning. A God moment is a point in time when God defines your life and turns your life towards Him. It is a defining moment, but it always turns your life towards God and towards His will for your life. That point in time might be brief, or it could be something extended. It could be an experience or an event that you are a part of, but whatever it does, it defines you, and you're never the same again. It transitions you, it changes you. So it's not simply something that is defining, but something that is turning your life towards God. That's exactly what happened in the 4th chapter of the book of Joshua. It was a defining moment for the people of God who were on the brink of crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. For 40 years, they had wandered in disobedience to God in what is called the wilderness in Scripture. And now they find themselves finally ready to go across the Jordan and into the promised land. The Bible says that Joshua called one man from every tribe. How many tribes are there of Israel? 12. So he called each one of these men, a total of 12 men, and he told them, "I want you to go right in the middle where the Ark of the Covenant is right now. And the bottom of the river is dry. And I want you to pick up a stone, lift it to your shoulder, and walk across the other side, for that stone will become a reminder to you and a remembrance to you that something great and grand you have been a part of, and you have been walking in a God moment. That's exactly what Joshua led the men to do. And the Bible says these words over in the fourth chapter in verse 20. Look with me, please. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? Very important phrase. You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. What a powerful, powerful passage. So he told them, he said, when your children look at you and they ask you, what do those stones mean? You will testify to them that there is a God, the same God who parted the waters of the Red Sea, that took your forefathers from the bondage of Egypt in a journey towards the promised land when they left Egypt. It's the same God who has now once again made the water stand up as a mass, and the river bottom became as dry, and you found a stone and you picked up that stone to remind them that there is a God of heaven who is mighty and a God who will see you through in your life. And you're to honor him and you're to respect him with your life. Now, my friends, this was a God moment for the people of God. It defined their lives and it turned them towards God directionally. It gave to them their future. Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. God moments lead to God's will. This past Tuesday on April the 2nd, 2019, in the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Dallas, Texas, in the Fort Worth Airport, I accepted the overwhelming call to become the president and the chief executive officer of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. The decision was pending upon me resigning my role as senior pastor of Cross Church today on April the 7th, 2019. Now, if you were not with us last week, I cannot take the time today to talk to you about what all that means, what all that position holds, but there is a 13-minute video that I did do that describes all of that, that was played on all of our campuses where I was not present physically to tell them about it last week. Bottom line, it's duties to lead a large group of churches toward reaching the world with the gospel. The question has come, how did I determine this radical change in calling, position, and even location is God's will for my life? The answer to that, God moments. Moments in time when God not only defined my life, but also turned my life towards God's direction, turned my life towards God's plan, and turned my life towards the will of God in my future. To put it shortly today, I have my own stones of remembrance that come out of the book, the stones of remembrance that come out of experience, out of events of what God has done. I could talk about how those have happened through the course of years and years, but time will not permit me. I could talk about it for the last many months, but God knows time will not permit me. But I will talk about a few things along the way over the last few weeks. What I do know is this: God has issued a new calling in my life. It all started back, I believe, beyond the life action of God on March the 4th, 2018. Not 19, but 18. Over 13 months ago, I began to have what I call an Isaiah 6 moment. Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord asking," this is Isaiah speaking, "who shall I send?" And God says, "Who will go for us?" And then Isaiah responded, "I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." Daily since March the 4th, 2018, I have prayed Isaiah 6, verse 18. I did not know why. I did not understand why, other than simply God wanted to just make sure that I knew my heart was pliable and would be willing to do whatever He wanted me to do in my life. Complete, absolute surrender to God. I have to be honest, however, never did I think it would be personalized so dramatically and so personally, where it would call me to a change in calling, a change in a position, and in a change in location. Within 5 months of that experience, five different major bodies of great influence of the Southern Baptist Convention lost their leaders for all kinds of reasons. Immediately, chitter-chatter started happening in the Baptist rumor mill, which is usually like any other rumor mill, completely wrong. And Gina began to hear those words, and she told me privately, "You're going to be approached by one or more of those." And I told her continually, even until weeks ago, "Honey, don't worry. You have nothing to worry about. Let it go. They will not want to talk to me. They will not want me. You need to forget it. All is fine. You know we're very content here. God's given us a wonderful life. We're in a wonderful church. And this is where we're going to finish out. It will not happen." The journey continued. And when the journey continued and they wanted to begin a process with me, I then told Gina, "Don't worry." And then their process continued to want me to interview with them following the week of Thanksgiving. So I went to that interview alone, which is what they desired. And after that interview was over, I called Gina and I said, "Honey, don't worry. I went to the interview. It was really great. The people are wonderful. They were very kind. I don't think they're going to want me ultimately. So all is well. We're doing well. We're fine." Within a week, I heard from them again, and they said, "Listen, we want to continue conversation with you, but we're going to do it after the first of the year." I told Gina then, I said, "Okay, they still will not want me ultimately. You don't need to worry about it. Let's just enjoy my favorite time of the year, which is Christmas." Within 2 or 3 days, I had a surgical procedure on my nose that was expected to put me out of the public for about a week. It was already planned. We knew it was going to happen. We had planned for it to happen for a week. But little did I know, it ended up being quite extraordinary beyond what any of us imagined. And it sidelined me from December the 14th, really the 18th ultimately, but the 14th, all the way until the last Sunday of January. Then on December the 18th, I entered the hospital. I had a major skin graft done, in fact, a couple of them, which I was not a wonderful sight, not even for sore eyes. There is no way in the world I would have ever been public. They told me that before the surgery, and I promise you, there was no way it would happen after the surgery. Due to that, plus the threat of infection. And so out of the public eye, I was for 5 complete weeks. Gina and I would only go to the doctor's office and back. No more than 2 hours total was I out of the house for 5 weeks. On January the 22nd, the skin graft surgery number 2 happened, which finalized all the processes. And the healing process ultimately began, which they say is going to be a year. And they are going to do, they've already done one, that will accelerate the healing. And hopefully that will occur. But they tell me in 1 year period of time, most people will never know that I had surgery. I will be interested to see that. On January the 27th, I walked back into the pulpit of our church, and I preached for the first time in 6 weeks. I was completely sidelined publicly. But you know and I know God uses all things in our lives. You know that, don't you? And in this same period of time, from January 1 through January 21, our church was on a 21-day journey of prayer. You remember that time? We've done that for several years in a row. For me, even though I was impaired physically, I still went through a complete fast for 21 days in a row, January 21 through January the 21st. Matters concerning my personal life, mainly our church, but also, obviously, our future, whatever God might have for us. And God began to pour out His insight to me, His power. God began to speak to us in powerful ways. It was Jesus and Gina and me. That was it. With a brief visit periodically from Nick and Meredith and the children. It was challenging, very challenging. And if you saw me, you would know how challenging it was. But God was using it to humiliate me, to humble me, to prepare me for this ultimate calling in life. A couple of insights real quick. God uses everything we walk through in life in order to prepare us for what He has ahead of us. And another little insight, God's preparation precedes God's calling. God's preparation precedes God's calling. Now, in this time of fasting and prayer where Jesus was calling me to be alone, I mean, I had no alternative. Surrender was my only goal. This presidential search team informed me during that time that they wanted to now place all their focus on me. Quite honestly, I thought, if you saw the way I look today, you wouldn't want to focus on me. But they wanted to place all their focus on me to go as far as God would let them go until God gave them a red light or gave us one. Again, I told Gina, but now I told her in a different way. Honey, I don't think you need to worry much. I still think they will not want me ultimately. And if they do, God's going to have to show us in a major way clearly. On the first week of February, we proceeded to meet with this committee again. And this time I took Gina with me upon their request. After this meeting concluded, we walked out of the conference room towards the elevator, standing and waiting at the elevator. She looked at me and she said, "We're moving to Nashville." And this time I looked at her and I said, "We may be." Well, after they were praying, we were praying at a whole new level of seriousness. 2 weeks later, they notified me that they wanted me to come. Obviously, this took our praying, our deliberating to a whole different level. like whole different level. In this journey one day, I prayed these words and these prayers that I'm still praying today. Maybe these prayers will help you in your life, encourage you in your life. Here's a prayer that I prayed. Father, I surrender. Whatever your will and however you will, let it be done according to your word and will. Another prayer I was moved to pray from the writings of Oswald Chambers. Holy Spirit, I surrender my will to Jesus Christ absolutely and irrevocably. Let me ask you today, do you have the courage to pray that prayer? You say, I don't know what irrevocably means. Look it up. It won't encourage you to pray it, but we need to pray it. Complete delta self had to occur in order for me to hear clearly the voice of God and to be able to be willing to do whatever God wanted me to do, anything, anytime, anywhere. And quite honestly, God gave Gina and me God moment after God moment that led us to God's will. So here we are with a great life, and we have a great life here. We are two happy, contented campers. And the most secure thing I can do for our future, the most safe thing I can do for our future, the most comfortable thing I can do for our future is to stay right here, complete our lives, and complete our ministry together. 2.5 years ago, we sold our home that we lived in for 13 years. We bought a piece of property with an older home. We literally transformed that older home. From the inside out, it was a wonderful home, incredible place, and we absolutely loved it. I mean, we love it. It's beautiful. It was a retreat for me and a retreat for Gina. But that house and that place had to go on the altar. And so it got there. And that's where it is today. So prayerfully, the God of heaven who is calling us away will sell his house, because it's not mine, it's his house, so we could secure him another home for us to live in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, more important than a house, we also had to process leaving Nick, Meredith, Reese, Beckham, Nora, and Maya, who had just bought a home and months earlier, and they lived within 2 miles of us. Earlier, over 2 years ago, we transitioned Gina's mother from Bridgeport, Texas, which is outside of Fort Worth. And now she's 95 years old, living in an assisted living facility within 10 minutes of our home there in Springdale. We had to have that conversation with her 95-year-old mother. I told Gina, honey, you need to have that one. So she went and she had that conversation with her 95-year-old mother. And honest to God, this is what her 95-year-old mother, who was married to a pastor for over 50 years until he went to heaven. And here's what she said. Well, you cannot let me stand in the way of you doing what God wants you to do. Still with the heart of a pastor's wife at 95 years of age. So now she will transition to go to a facility in Lubbock, Texas, where her son lives. So additionally, after all that, we had to process leaving a church that we absolutely love, and we have poured our energy, we poured our sweat, our blood, our time, our lives, the resources God has entrusted to us, we have poured it in here. We haven't left 1 ounce of who we are over these last 33 years. And my wife, for all of these years, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. My wife, for all of these years since 2001, when we started this campus, she came up here Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday with me to this campus. And there was times when we were in that little old building over there, we were doing 3 services on Sunday morning, and we started the last one at 12:30. 12 o'clock, I can't remember. I think it's 12 or 12:30. All I know is by the time we left there and we drove home, it was 3 o'clock, and that's back when we were doing Sunday night church. Hello. But she paid the price. We poured ourselves out. It wasn't easy. Now, one good thing about perhaps moving is that we will be, while we're leaving Nick and Meredith, we're going to be within 3 hours of Josh and Kate and Peyton and Parker and Jack, who live in the metropolitan region of Birmingham, as he's the head football coach of a large high school in the Birmingham metro area. But the question is, how did you process all this? How did you reach that this was the will of God for your future? I admit to you today, it was not easy. And you hear me today, it is still not easy. The Christian life is not a call to ease. But God was laying something on us on the tender heart of a man who had prayed Isaiah 6:8 for over a year. So I want to just walk through a few little God moments with you today that lead me to where I am today. January the 24th, 2019, God used the words of Jesus in Revelation 3:8 in my life dramatically. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. God gave me that verse again over on March the 7th, 2019. But it all began all the way back to June the 16th, 2015, in the Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. I'll talk about that in a moment. Next God moment, February the 14th, 2019. I'm only going to skim the highlights. And then again on March the 5th, 2019, God used the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, 22 through 24 to rock our world powerfully. Acts 20, 22 through 24 says, "And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem." He's talking to the Ephesian elders. "Compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me." But look at these words, "But then I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of God's grace." God convicted me that day. I had to release the unknown. I had to release the uncertainty. I had to release the difficulties that we were having in our own Baptist convention, as well as all of the complex issues in our culture today. And I learned that day that this decision is not about me, and it's not about Gene and me, but it's about God's purpose for my life. And His purpose is higher than any of our purposes. And here comes Oswald Chambers. Some of you do not know the name Oswald Chambers. He wrote a devotional many years before he died, and his wife put those devotionals together after his death. Well, this year, I've never gone through that in a long time. It's been a long time since I've ever been through it. And so I decided I'm going to have them sent to me this year. Boy, was that a challenge. And so after the first few, I told Gina, I said, "You need to get on this and we'll go through this together." So Dr. Oswald Chambers has been walking into our life, messing our world up every day. But he wrote this devotional. It's recorded on the fifth day of March. And it's a devotional that says, "Is he really my Lord?" And on Acts 20:24, that devotional used these convicting words to us. Joy comes from seeing the complete fulfillment of the specific purpose for which I was created and born again, not from successfully doing something of my own choosing. He later writes in that same devotional, and he says to us, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." John 20:21. It's like a dagger went through my heart. He continues in that same devotional. He is not offering a choice of how we serve him. He is asking for absolute loyalty to his commission, a faithfulness to what we discern when we are in our closest fellowship with God. And if that wasn't enough, he finished us off by saying, "The call is to be faithful to the ministry you received." And Gene and I both knew that day, well, okay, we're up for a challenge or in a challenge. And not only is Jesus calling us up, he really may be calling us away. And church, I have to be honest with you. I'm as honest as I can be with you today. I had this fear of the unknown. I have been gripped with more fear in this process than ever. Ever. The fear of the unknown for me, the fear of the unknown for Gina, the fear of the unknown for Gina and me. The fear of leaving this place and knowing that I had to know that God was with me. And one morning, it's like Jesus showed up in that office that I'm in at my home. And he took over my chair and he said, "Here, son, come and sit in my lap here for a moment. I want to talk to you about your fear." And I'd read through the book of Haggai. It's only 2 chapters. It's over in the Old Testament. But in that second chapter of the book of Haggai, from verse 4 through verse 9, it's just filled with nugget after nugget after nugget. And I hold these up to you today, just a few that I want to just quote. For example, in chapter 2, verse 4, he writes these words, "Be strong, for I am with you." And I felt like Jesus was saying, "Ronnie, you be strong, I'm with you." Haggai 2, verse 5, Jesus said this to me through his book, "Ronnie, my spirit is a present among you. Don't be afraid." Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, it's like Jesus said to me, "Ronnie, I will provide peace in this place." On March the 15th, 2019, the testimony of the Apostle Paul became my testimony of Acts chapter 26, verse 19. When he testified to Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." God was giving me a vision, and I refused to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. March 24th, 2019, from the life of Abraham and the journey of faith, God used him again and again and again in my journey. Hebrews 11, verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out a place where he was going to receive an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going." Now think about that testimony. He went out not even knowing where he was going. He was 75 years of age when he did that. Can you imagine, gentlemen, when you had to go home and talk to Mrs. Abraham by the name of Sarah? "Sarah, listen, honey, we're moving." "Where are we moving?" "I don't know where we're moving. Just get your stuff. We're going on a move." "Where are we going?" "I don't know where we're going. We're just going, even though we don't know where we're going." She said, "Abraham, you're 75. "I know, but God says he wants us to go." And they left. Just a few quick remarks. I will not expound on them. Try these words on today. These little nuggets that God's taught me. God moments lead to God's will. Next one. God uses your whole life to prepare you for your next assignment. He brings all the dots together to prepare you for your next assignment. Next nugget, God only calls you to do what He has prepared and equipped you to do. Next nugget, God's will and future for you is not controlled by you. Controlled by you, but by Him. Next nugget, God speaks mainly through His Word, but also supports His Word with the testimonies of others and the undeniable circumstances of your life. And I'm telling you, I had some undeniable circumstances where Jesus had to get me off of the road, off of my stuff, off of you, calling me to a personal 6-week encounter with Him where I could not run. One challenge we face, has God prepared someone to become the lead pastor of Cross Church? That's a big thing. God's called me to be a shepherd. Over 2 years ago, the board of directors and I began to have extremely serious conversations about pastoral succession here at Cross Church. You have it in your corporate entities and businesses all over. We had one about our church. Because the bottom line is, we all knew that I could have personal impairment that would not let me carry out my assignment, and we need to be ready. Or if something happened to me suddenly and I died, we needed to be ready. And we jokingly said, well, even in case you leave to go somewhere else, which they never thought I would, and neither did I. Early on in this process, they identified this man. We talked about this man in great detail. We talked with this man in great detail. And we began preparing him for what would happen perhaps one day in the future. For whatever reason, early last August when we met, I went to the board of directors and I appealed to the board of directors. Now listen, men, I really want us, now that you're settled, I'm settled, we believe that we have that. Here's what I want us to do. And I started naming where this was common. And I said, I want us to announce who our successor is sometime in early 2019. So the church will be rested and comfort and confident that we're going to be on a track of getting him ready for that moment. In case I would ever face impairment. In case I ever died suddenly. Or if God would ever call me away. And we talked through that, and we were going to make an announcement sometime in 2019 to inform you who that was and to encourage you to follow what we believe was the will of God. Fast forward to today. As was confirmed this week, God is calling me away. Therefore, listen very carefully, Cross Church. On behalf of our board of directors, I am announcing to you today that next Sunday on April the 14th, 2019, we will introduce to you in a brief video presentation whom this group of spiritual leaders believe God desires to be your next lead pastor at Cross Church. For the 2 weeks between April the 14th until the early morning of April the 28th. We're asking you to pray daily for God to lead us to His ultimate will in Cross Church. And we're going to ask you to begin to pray for this man by name and his family. And then on April the 28th, 2019, the Board of Directors is asking all of you to come and to vote for and affirm whom we believe by God's divine purpose, preparation, and will to be the man that God has been raising up to be the next lead pastor of Cross Church. And this will occur in all of the 11 services on the four campuses of Cross Church. Now, do you realize, Cross Church, in a few moments when I resign from this ministry formally as your senior pastor, you will witness today what has not been done in over 33 years in this church. And has only been done, listen now, 3 times in the last 66 years by the senior pastor. That is a legacy not to the pastors. That is an extraordinary legacy to the spirit of Cross Church. Amen. I close with this testimony today. I was faced with an extraordinary personal challenge over these last several weeks. God confronted me and said, "You believe this stuff? Huh? You believe this stuff? We're going to find out." I believed it when Gina was diagnosed with cancer. I believed it when I would face encounters in life and challenges in life. I've always believed it. I did believe it. But I mean, that time God really got in my face. You want to believe it, big guy? You think you're really surrendered? I was reading the Word of God in January. Those words in Revelation that I mentioned a moment ago over in chapter 3. And one morning, I believe it was in March, when the Holy Spirit reminded me, "Hey man, you remember that passage of Revelation 3 that you just read? Remember, that's what I had you preach on in Columbus, Ohio, in your presidential address on June the 16th, 2015, to thousands and thousands of Southern Baptist leaders." I felt God saying, "Go get that message, and I want you to read it." I went and got that message, found it in my file, in my iPad. I dialed that dude up, and I began to read it. And I've been again to confronted with things, I'm telling you, that scared me greatly. Revelation 3:8, "I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And here I was at the end of this message with thousands and thousands of people in that convention center. It was an incredible moment. The Lord was all over the moment, and I am in my final words to those thousands and thousands of Southern Baptist leaders in that convention center in Columbus, Ohio. And I said these words right out of this message: "Southern Baptist, this is not a fairy tale. The need is great, the hour is late, and we must advance the gospel together to every ethnicity in the world." And then I said this: "Whatever the cost, whatever the risk, this worldwide mission thrust must be our priority. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. And now is the time to lead." Why am I here today? I'll tell you why I'm here today. The Spirit of God confronted me with my own words, even beyond His word. And those words were, "Whatever the cost, whatever the risk, this worldwide mission thrust must be our priority." And Jesus said to me that day, "Look, Ronnie, I have placed before you an open door, and nobody can shut it, even if they wanted to shut it. Now's the time for you to go and lead." And on that morning, I had my own Isaiah 6:8 experience again. Here am I. Send me. So I close this message today with these words. Do you really believe them? Whatever the cost, whatever the risk, this worldwide mission must be our priority. I choose to believe that that's what God is calling me to do. So today, I'm about to do what I would have never thought I would do, ever. I don't know. I must have thought that, you know, I'd just die in the pulpit one day and y'all would just take me on out here to the closest cemetery and take care of me. My dearest Cross Church family, half years ago, you called me to become your senior pastor. And young, beautiful Gina, with our two little boys, Josh and Nick, boarded our old orange Chevrolet Suburban. And we drove to Springdale, Arkansas to assume the role with you, with the church known then as the First Baptist Church of Springdale. The Lord has taken this great church that was already here, standing on the shoulders of our past. We have now seen the hand of God do miracle after miracle. We've seen over 22,000 people baptized, as well as millions upon millions of dollars being given for gospel work here, across America and the world. And together, we're all touching, through all we do, over 9,000 people every week, and conducting 11 worship services every Sunday morning on the four campuses of our church, of which two of those services are in another language. For many of you who are now under 33 years of age, I'm the only pastor you've ever had. For many families, I'm the only pastor you have ever had. For this Cross Church family who has been with me any segment of these years, or you were already here when I came, we have lived a lot of life together. And we've been through a lot together. And while we we'll be separated from one another soon by a few hundred miles, I will encourage and pray for you often, helping you in any way possible. But to all of you, soon you will have a new pastor. And I ask you now, please transfer. Wait till I leave, please. Immediately, your love and your commitment to him from the moment the leadership baton is passed from me to him just a few weeks from now. Oh, there's so many things that I wanted to see occur, visions inside of me, realities now within our reach over the next 2 years, of which will be a legacy moment that few churches will ever have, and that is becoming free from all debt. upon this vision happening in these next couple of years or sooner or even today, if the Lord wills, our church will immediately free up $3.2 million annually to be used for greater gospel work here across America or the world. This is money that we're already giving now. Therefore, Cross Church, let's get free from debt soon. I have lived for that moment to occur. And when it does, even though I may not be here to lead it, I will rejoice from Nashville, Tennessee, with a Baptist shout that will be heard all the way to Northwest Arkansas. And now, to the matters at hand today for the future that God has, not just for me, but for you, our dear Cross Church family. Even with an overwhelming heart of gratitude to God and an overflowing love for you, our Cross Church family, it was on this past Tuesday in Dallas, Texas, I responded to the call of God to become the president and the chief executive officer of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. And in this role of providing daily leadership to the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the largest non-Catholic Protestant organization in the United States, I will give my life to championing our vision of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. You will be with me through this journey, through your continual gifts, through the cooperative program which funds and fuels our Baptist gospel work statewide, nationally, and globally. And you will be with me reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ, just in a different way. And yes, the miracle, it continues at Cross Church. Therefore, in order for me to fulfill this new calling from God, and after serving you for the past 32 and one half years, I offer to you with a hurting heart my resignation as your senior pastor on this Sunday, April the 7th, 2019. My final Sunday of serving you in this capacity and preaching my final sermon as your senior pastor will be Sunday, May the 19th, 2019. Until then, while I may have to be away a few weekdays at times to prepare for the upcoming National Day of Prayer in Washington and for the Southern Baptist Convention in June, my number one commitment is to you and seeing that our church is ready as much as possible for what lies ahead for our Cross Church family. So during these few weeks, I will definitely be with you without exception, preaching God's word and calling people to follow Jesus Christ weekly. Thank you for these years together. So many years. So many moments. And so many memories. I love you. And until Jesus comes, or He calls me home, now is the time to lead. Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor, Cross Church.
You know what? I think it'd be appropriate for us to pray for Pastor, and then he'll continue with the service. We will continue as God leads, but this is a holy moment right here. We don't want to run past it. So let's pray. Together as the Cross Church family, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for Ronnie and Gina Floyd. And we pray, Lord, that he could see greater things in the future, as hard as it is to believe, that have even happened in the former. And we pray, God, that we would all marvel at your work through them. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that right now comes up and down every aisle, in every seat, and says all is well, because we follow you just as Ronnie and Gina follow you. And today, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would give them much, much favor, expand their borders beyond even their understanding. And God, I pray that you would keep them from harm. And Lord, I pray the enemy would have no place in their family, Lord. And God, we thank you that you are more than enough. In the name of Jesus. Amen.